talk a little bit about detail efficiency and to try to clarify, if that's possible, what that term really means on the certain perspective. If we take a piece of the mission statement of DIF, it's to compile and use performance records to improve efficiency, profitability, and sustainability of production. And to do that in a consistent manner. So when we say the words, we all know what we're talking about, and we're talking about the same things. Efficiency to me reflects a relationship between inputs and outputs. And in the economic sciences, in econometrics, if you will, there are a whole class of models that are called input-output models that allow us to measure those relationships mathematically. Those models, I think it's fair to say, are uncommonly used in the animal sciences. I could almost say almost never in the animal sciences. And yet, that's what we talk about when we talk about this input-output relationship. I want us to understand that from where I sit at least, selection is the primary force with which we can move a population over time. We can invoke a management system, a management change, which will allow us to move a population incrementally from here to here, but we cannot change that population incrementally over time with that change in management. The other beauty of selection is the incremental change we make this year is added, but the incremental change we make next year is added to the incremental change we make this year, and those things accumulate over time so that over a long period of time we can make tremendous amounts of change through selection. If you think about a classic example that we like to use in animal breeding is in milk production of dairy cattle. And I think if I remember the statistics right, the average milk production of a dairy cow in 1952 or 3 was somewhere around 11,000 pounds of milk per lactation. And today that number is somewhere more than 3 times that amount. So tremendous progress was made through selection in the dairy. The thing that is required for selection to be effective is a certain amount of discipline and consistency on our part. We can't be selected for A, B, and C this year, and D, E, and F next year, and X, Y, and Z the year after, and going on and on and just changing selection criteria willy-nilly, and think we're actually going to go anywhere. Because we're not. We're going to go one place and one place only. So I want to start the discussion about the definition of cow efficiency with a quote from one of my favorite authors who wrote Alice in Wonderland. And in it, there's a statement by the Mad Hatter that says, when I use a word, it means exactly what I want it to mean, nothing more and nothing less. And this, to me, is not the way we as BIF want to deal with guidelines. We don't want it to mean exactly what Irvin wants it to mean when he says it, and exactly what Mike wants it to mean, and so on. We want a consistent meaning so that we can communicate that across the audience. I would like it if that's possible. So on this this slide, I put what some people have indicated to me how efficiency is. And I have a clicker, but I have no pointer. Okay. So this slide is really intended to just say the output side of the equation, if you will, the output side of the input-outputs equation is Kf weighted, and the input side is how much API. And that's how efficiency. Anybody agree with that idea? Boy, you're all brave because nobody raised their hand. Thanks, John. Okay, so let's see if we can add. What about reproduction? Reproduction got anything to do with cow efficiency? My 8-year-old cow has 2 calves or 6. Does it matter how much output there is? Sure. And so I think we have to consider reproduction in that process. And I'm purposely avoiding saying the trait is heifer pregnancy or stayability or whatever. But it's certainly the number of calves that she produces has something to do with her efficiency. What about longevity? If you have to replace a cow when she's 5, does that make her more or less efficient than if you can replace her when she's 9? All other things being equal? There's a tremendous amount of developmental cost in getting her from being a calf, which could have sold as a weaner, to being a female and a breeder. And if you can amortize that cost over more units of output because she lives longer, that probably makes it more efficient. At least up close. But I think certainly we have to consider longevity. Then there's some indicator traits, and we talked for years, as long as I can remember, about big cows and little cows being more or less efficient. It's been an argument that's going on for as long as those of us who have gray hair remember. And I don't think it's a resolved issue. But certainly cow size influences how much that cow eats to some degree. What about milk production? Certainly milk production influences not only how much she eats, as Tom Jenkins and Cal Farrell would have shown us 25 years ago, but it also influences how big the calf is. And how does that trade-off come into this context that we call cow efficiency? And then back here behind all of that, there is, if you will, the breeder's equation that talks about phenotype being the sum of genetics, the expression of genotype, and the environment. And in fact, I've got 6 traits here now. There are 6 groups of traits, if you will. They're influencing cow efficiency. So there's 6 sets of gene expression, and there's 6 sets of environment, because the environmental effect is not necessarily the same on every trait. The genes involved in the expression of a trait are not the same across all traits. But the gene expression in the environment may be correlated with each other for any one trait. That's another way to say there may be a genotype-environment interaction that affects these traits. There's also the potential for genetic correlations among the traits, and the potential for environmental correlations among the traits. So what I've done now, or what I've tried to do now, is build for you a cartoon that says cow efficiency is fairly complicated. And it's not one trait we can measure. I ask anybody in the room, tell me how to measure cow efficiency, measuring one thing. can't be done. It's not, and I'm going to quibble with our chairman. Mark, you talked about how efficiency is a trait. It's not a trait. It's a culmination, if you will, of multiple things. And I want to leave you with that idea. Now, certainly what I've talked about here is lifetime co-efficiency over her lifetime. Many of the research studies, including the ones that Mike Davis and I were involved with as graduate students, talked about annual co-efficiency, where we took out some of those other complicating factors like reproduction. And so on an annual basis, if you don't have to worry about reproduction and you don't have to worry about longevity, that changes the picture. But I suggest to you, as an industry, we want to worry about lifetime, not the annual piece. Not that the annual piece can't be tremendously important to inform our knowledge about lifetime. So I've made the argument that the cow efficiency is a function of several contributing traits. Many breed associations. Angus publishes a thing that's called Dollar W or Dollar EN. Hertford publishes a Baldy Maternal Index, and so on. All of those include certain facets or certain components of what I've outlined. So everybody's kind of working toward it. But they're working toward it from a lot of different directions. And we'd like to bring that together more so than it is today. We'd like greater uniformity in that regard. So our purpose today in this committee meeting is really to review various facets of what is currently known about the biological functions that contribute to cow efficiency. And to work toward the ultimate goal that we get rid of the Mad Hatter point of view about what cow efficiency means. And then we come together with something that's halfway kind of in terms of a way to talk about a trait, about this composite of several traits. Mike Davis, Mike, I guess you're kind of unfamiliar to BIF. Been a long time. But Mike Davis did some of the original pioneering work in summarizing the data that came out of a North Central Regional project that started many years ago when many of us of my era fed cows individually. South Dakota fed 80 cows a year for 8 or 9 years, the individual pens, and produced data. Wisconsin fed cows for many years individually and produced a lot of data. And Mike was one of the most productive individuals in summarizing some of that data. And I look forward to what Mike has to say in that regard. One of the areas of research where we were tremendously effective in building a team across many state institutions, to look, in fact, at the issues of cow efficiency. And I worry about just because you can't surface these papers or other papers like this in a quick Google search, that we've suddenly forgotten that there's a whole lot of pre-existing knowledge. And I worry that we not do that and try to reinvent the wheel in what is a very expensive and difficult area to accumulate. I'd be remiss not to acknowledge Jack Bartledge, Larry Cundiff, and Ed Hauser in bringing this particular set of data together. Larry, I don't know where you are, but I don't envy you the task. There's a litany of work at Clay Center that, when I looked at Web of Science the other night and just typed in cow efficiency as a topic and Clay Center Nebraska as the location. And there aren't two research stations there, so it's all U.S. one. I surfaced 55 papers. So Larry, you got less than a minute of paper, you got to get it all done. But the work really starts with Dave Nodder's PhD work, and many of you know Dave. And a collaboration between folks at Nebraska at Clay Center and folks at Texas A&M in a group led by Tom Cartwright. Jim Sanders at the same roughly the same time was also doing his PhD at Texas A&M. This work was all done by simulation at that point, computer simulation. And then you have a whole litany of people, Cal Farrell, Tom Jenkins, Harvey Freakley, Rafael Nunez, Dominguez, Ryan Green, and Eduardo Casas, who did a whole host of biological experimentation around various issues in cow efficiency. And much of our understanding today is conditioned on that biological experimentation. Whole animal, kind of. I don't mean I mean whole animal, not biological. Even the genomic stuff is biological. But work with whole animals. And then more recently, there's been work by Tara McDaniel, John Keel, Larry Keene, that have looked at a level deeper in the pool, if you will, looking at some genomic impacts. And then at the bottom of here, I purposely put it at all, because there's not really enough room on a bloody slide to list everybody. And there's a host of people in that that are involved in it. And I don't mean to single these out to exclude those other folks. But this would be the names that would be more prominent, perhaps, in that information. And then finally, we're going to ask Scott Spidell, who became a professor shortly, like maybe last week or this week, next week, who actually joins. I mean, we've known Scott for a long time, 10, 12 years. And, you know, I thought about this, and I remember Scott's essay for the Frank Baker Award contest on the genetic analysis of longitudinal data. And he was the winner in that part, 2009, of that contest. Still one, in years of looking at those essays, one of the better essays in that collection of essays that are all very, very fine. And Scott's been instrumental, I think it's fair to say. Maybe I should use a stronger word than instrumental. With regard to the genetic evaluations, the Colorado Genetic Improvement Network. And I look forward to what he's got to say. So I want to leave you with this grand challenge to copy a couple of buzzwords from my favorite politicians. The grand challenge for us as BIF is to come to an agreement about the general architecture of an index, if you will, a mathematical description of what this thing is that will allow us to select for improved lifetime cow efficiency. That's really the challenge that's before us. And as a committee, I would hope that we could do that. I would hope that we could tap on many of your shoulders and say, would you look at this and see if it makes sense to anyone? Does this actually meet the eyeball test of somebody who has to run a bunch of cows in a country that's pretty green this year, but a country that's seen grass about as good as this carpet other years? Does this give us a way that's a viable way to move our industry?